Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Packers have two timeouts. Pocket crumbling. Rodgers will be sacked for a second time. Quinn gets him again.
I think when the Quinn, Leonard Floyd decision, look, Leonard has some very good years here. He's a key part of a top defense. And I don't think acquiring Robert's not necessarily a knock on Leonard. It's just doing what's best, we feel is best for our team. And I think you saw how quickly Leonard signed elsewhere, a pretty good contract. So we're happy for him. But for us, it was just, hey, we're constantly tweaking and trying to upgrade our roster. And we feel like we've done that with our pass rush with Robert Quinn.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
It's Ryan Pace on a teleconference with local media discussing the highest price acquisition of the Bears offseason, pass rusher and double-digit sack potential player for opposite of Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn. So it's been an interesting offseason for the Bears. They upgraded at pass rush. They upgraded at quarterback. They brought in competition at tight end. Hopefully they upgraded on the offensive line. And they seem to be going all in, but there are question marks on these guys across the board, right?
Yes.
Fair to say?
I think the most confidence that's been inspired is that in an upgraded pass rush because of the acquisition of Robert Quinn. I don't think there's really much debate about that. People, some people feel good, I do, about Danny Trevathan returning to the team over Nick Kwiatkowski. But of the new faces, that's the one that is causing the most stir and giving people the most reason for optimism. What did we say about the Bears all last season defensively? They're not giving up a ton of points, but they're not getting to the quarterback. If it's not Khalil Mack, who's going to step up and do it? It only happened very briefly with Nick Williams and the other cat, who am I?
Roy Robertson Harris?
Yes, Roy Robertson Harris, 95. It only happened very briefly. They went away. So that was one of their biggest problems last year. They didn't cause havoc in the backfield. They didn't create the turnovers. So Robert Quinn should help that. He's a more explosive player than Leonard Floyd was.
Yes, even if his double-digit total sack total with the Cowboys comes down a bit, it'll be better than what Leonard Floyd was, and hopefully Akeem Hicks is healthy. And so if you got Quinn and Hicks and Khalil Mack, obviously that should be a pretty damn good pass rush, and the Bears should be in competition for having the best front seven in the entire NFL. But what was funny is, Robert Quinn, $30 million guaranteed. Like, there's competition for his services. That, right? This is an edge rusher in the NFL. Behind quarterback, it's probably the most premium commodity that you can find, right? Great quarterback play, and then guys who can stop the quarterback. So other teams were trying to get him. And the finalists were the Bears and the Atlanta Falcons. And Robert Quinn, when meeting the Chicago media today, Mac, he kind of went through how he ultimately made his decision to come to Chicago.
It was tough. I mean, I wish I could have a definitive answer, but I went through the players on everywhere, the city, the coaches. And just all overall where I can be, happy, and where will be best, where what city might be best for me and my family, in general. So, there's a lot of factors that had to take place. And, it's you know, really, like I always say this, and it was tough. It was a tough decision, you know, and I had to finally make it. But, you know, so Chicago, you know, was on the right side of the coin. And, you know, once I made it, made that decision, you know, I kind of put my head down again and just went back to work. And, you know, whenever this craziness clears up, I'll get ready and then get back to work, you know, up there in Chicago. So
I'm curious. You keep talking about flipping a coin. You didn't flip a literal coin, did you?
that's kind of how it came down to the final decision. You know, it was pretty tough. I mean, basically that's what it boiled down to. It was a coin flip. and how about this? Bear was on the right side of it. You know, I don't regret it. And you know, like I said, I moved on from the past. And you know, how about this? It's basically how I picked my college. You know, I thought I wanted, you know, have one place and woke up the next morning going somewhere else. So, you know, like I said, I think the powers above, you know, always does things in a funny way. So I think I'm going to Chicago for a reason.
Mac?
The reason? Chicago won the coin flip.
So they asked him a bunch of times. He kept talking about a coin. Do you really believe that he went, all right, Bears heads, Falcons tails?
It's starting to, well, it kind of would lead you to believe that, yeah. Also,
that's amazing.
He said, same thing with colleges. I'm torn and I flip a coin. I know what it's like to be torn. It's painful to be indecisive and to think about something over and over again for a number of weeks, for a number of years, and still not be able to pick a lane. But to rely on a coin flip, boy, that's an interesting way to go.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what he did?
Yes. It's amazing. I mean, but talk about, like, good luck for the Bears.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to give you $30 million. Oh, that's not enough to make up your mind? Okay, heads or tails, we'll wait. That's great.
Oh, God, yeah. Man.
Like, if he has a monster season, it will come down to, did he do best 2 out of 3?
Yeah.
Did he do 3 out of 5?
I want that coin. I want that coin. That coin could be worth something.
Was it a quarter? Was it a nickel? Was it a dime? I need to know.
Yeah.
These are the questions of our times.
A coin flip.
We're going to get back to the coin flip in just a second because Robert Quinn, when he vets this process, right, Chicago, Atlanta, players on the team, money, city, coaches, and all that, he mentioned coaches. Well, this is him talking about the Bears defensive coordinator, Chuck Pagano.
Here's the funny thing. I didn't know, no disrespect to Coach Pagano, I didn't know he was a D coordinator until I actually kind of made up my mind. Then I went to look him, and I'm like, hey, he recruited me back in college. So, you know, it's kind of funny. Like I said, the good powers above always lead you in the right direction. So, you know, like I said, y'all mentioned earlier, the coin flip and, you know, connecting back with Coach Pagano, is, you know, things work in mysterious ways. So, you know, when I seen that and I realized that, that definitely put one of the biggest smiles on my face because, you know, he left a little early to go to Baltimore when I committed to college. So, you know, again, anyways, I'm decided to get to play for him finally. And
what is happening here? So Robert Quinn signs a 5-year deal worth up to $70 million with $30 million in guarantees, and he didn't know what defensive coordinator he was signing up to play for, and he decided by flipping a coin. Is that what I'm to believe happened?
What were the things he was evaluating that led him to be in a position to have to flip a coin between the two of these? He said he was considering players on the team. I would think you're considering maybe who the coaches are. It might not be the most important thing to you. It might not even be the most on the top 5 important things to you, but you would think you would know that.
Well, he said coaches in the first answer.
Yeah,
about the
I know.
Flip a coin, buddy.
This is awesome. And the only reason this is funny is because for whatever reason, for whatever way it got for Robert Quinn to choose the Bears, he chose the Bears. Taney said that the Atlanta sports talk station was calling us asking for the audio because they're none too pleased that they lost out on some coin flip for Robert Quinn.
What the hell did he look at then? If it comes down to a coin flip, Atlanta? Really? I mean, what? I don't know. Does he have friends? Is there history there? He's not from that area, right? What possibly would have put it on par with Chicago where you have to flip a coin?
You know, well, I mean, you could
the
say...
The offensive talent they have assembled, if you want to do that. But I don't know.
Right.
Atlanta didn't impress anybody last year again.
Well, I mean, listen, you
team
Atlanta's a
right
great...
It, yeah.
Atlanta's a great city to be... Young, rich, famous, and black.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a. I mean, yes. I would prefer Chicago, but it's one of the epicenters of black entertainment in this country. He's from South Carolina. You get to play in a dome as a speed rusher off the edge.
Okay, all right.
You get better offensive. You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
there's
it
reason.
Has some marks. Yeah, it has some things going for it, but to be dead even with Chicago. Is interesting to me. And then to flip a coin and then say, oh, I found out, guess what, gravy, I get to work with Pags again. How about that? Didn't kind of work out in college when he was recruiting me. There's a bonus.
Maybe
if the Bears would have let him know that Pagano is the defensive coordinator, he wouldn't have been in position to where he had to flip the coin. What were they selling him? What do they have? What do these conversations include? Well, Chuck likes to run this defense. This is how he sees. What do they talk about? How can he not know that?
I don't know. I love it, though. Listen, maybe the Bears offered him $5 million more of guaranteed money, and he just doesn't want to say that, so he wants to make it seem like it was real close, right? I don't know the exact details of Atlanta's contract offer, but if we are taking.
He's somebody, by the way, that won our sweep the sheds for this week.
Oh yeah, that's true. It's big shoes to fill. He's filling the sweep the sheds Leonard Floyd guy. He's got a set.
If there's ever
edge.
A sweep the sheds guy, that's the guy.
Sweeping sheds.
That is
my goodness.
Can I hear the coin flipping exchange one more time just to be sure that he does in fact say coaches?
It was tough. I mean, I wish I could have a definitive answer, but I went through. The players on, everywhere, the city, the coaches.
Flip a coin, buddy.
Yeah, so he says coaches. It's so great.
Which coaches?
He doesn't know who
the DC is.
I have no idea.
Does each team have them? Oh, they both have coaches. Okay.
Check.
Honey, get the coin. Get my decision-making coin.
Yeah, guy's wearing a visor, got no hair. He looks like a coach. Okay, they got a coach in Chicago. Man, that's
that is great.
Really, really did a lot of homework. The paycheck, man.
It's got to be.
Coaches. Oh, Pags is there. Cool. I think that dude once recruited me. Yeah, it'd be great to hook up with him again. We didn't get our chance 10 years ago.
I mean, yeah, that is.
Oh, is that stupid?
Yeah,
that's really dumb.
But it worked out. So it's like, am I going to criticize it? He's a Bear. Who cares? It was the coin flip from above. That's fine. He's a Bear. That's all I care about. He took their money.
No. How can that not have been a part of unless he miscommunicated today during that teleconference? How can he have gone through that process and not learned who his DC is going to be? How would that happen? Please tell me that doesn't happen.
I don't know. I don't know, Mac. It obviously seems ridiculous.
It would be malpractice on both sides to not have that as part of the conversation on what kind of defense you're running and where you fit in. And I can't believe that.
Peoria Matt says, "Does Atlanta have the bean? Okay, Chicago it is." But just think, 30 million guaranteed, a coin flip, and you don't know who your defensive coordinator is.
Well, there is a little bit of clarification, at least as far as, you know, where he fits in the defense and his decision.
From what I know, the only thing I was, I guess, talented about the 3-4 is, I mean, as you look at my career, I never really played the left side. So, I mean, I think I think we got a comfortable understanding that I get to, you know, I mean, hopefully I get to stay on the right side, or, you know, if we got a flip-flop, I guess I got to get more comfortable with playing on the left. But, you know, as I get older, I realize that, you know, you got to be able to be a little multi-talented, or, you know, be able to change up, you know. But, I guess people, I want to say I felt uncomfortable. It was just really the first time I had to play the left side a lot. So, I wouldn't say I was uncomfortable playing. And I think I had, you know, just 8.5 sacks, you know, that year, not to talk about myself.
Oh, man, Robert Quinn's going to be a great quote. This is
more
awesome.
Yeah, more often than not, Khalil Mack plays on the right side. And Robert Quinn's not super comfortable on the left side.
You think Robert Quinn knew Khalil Mack was on the Bears?
That's a great question. I don't
said,
know.
Whoa, you guys got Khalil Mack.
He said
this is
going to
make my job so much easier.
He'll flip-flop if he has to. As you know, he's a big corn-flipping guy.
He's a team flipping guy.
Flipping for real.
I mean, if you want to know, it was here in Atlanta, and it was very tough. You know, my agent was just relaying some messages, and I really couldn't make up my mind, so I had to do the honest way.
Were the Bears heads or tails?
They was on the right side.
The right side?
Man.
He didn't flip a coin. It's impossible.
Do you think he just misunderstood, like, you know, he's trying to just use the turn of phrase and confusing it with the literal, but he's just trying to, you know, backsell it and make it seem like, oh, no, of course not.
Yeah, like the right side is incorrect,
right,
side,
yeah,
not right or left or anything like that.
He's using the figurative, correct. And there's, I think, a miscommunication here.
Yeah.
They should be on a podium in front of people, but they're not. And this is one of the things we lose in translation.
I don't care. I have enjoyed this.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I've enjoyed the fake news world of Robert Quinn being like, all right, 30 million.
Goodness.
Screw
it. And he's not real comfortable on the left side. And I'm just guessing. This is just a guess because I isolate on the guy almost every snap. But Khalil Mack plays on the right side at least 60% of the time. Do you think that's accurate? At least 60%? Maybe as much as 70%. He lines up opposite the left tackle.
Correct. Yeah, that is...
You're right, Danny. Robert Quinn is going to be a joy. There's a little bit more here from his teleconference.
Well, that wouldn't bother me. Because my rookie year, I didn't start till training camp anyway. So because that was that year of the lockout. Then I guess as far as, you know, dealing with this coronavirus, I'm from the country. I don't think we get sick too often. You know, and if so, we just put on some sweats and sweat it out. So. I think the few folk need to go spend some time in that country and, you know, pick up some country remedies. That's just a little country humor, you know. Sorry.
All right, I want him on the show every week.
He's virus proof.
I want him on the show every week. He's my new favorite Bear.
Wow.
This is our guy. Just
Lord.
A little country humor. Good. Good, I like that. That's awesome. All right. Robert Quinn, top of the wish list. That is so awesome. We'll never know if he's joking or telling the truth, and it just won't matter. Did he know that Pagano was here? I still don't know. Did he flip a coin? I still don't know. Does he think he's immune to the coronavirus because he grew up in the South? I still don't know. But I love all of it.
This puts him right up near the top of our wish list for Bears to talk to when we ever get in a training camp situation, whenever we would be talking to members of the Bears. I'd still want to talk to Nick Foles first, but Robert Quinn would probably be right there behind him.
He's going to flip a coin who he's going to talk to us for the morning show.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll be on the right side. Just where he's more comfortable.
Yeah. Maybe he knew one of our producers way back when.
I don't get it.
Oh, it was just a little country humor, Chuck Danny. Pagano. You know, he recruited him in college, remember?
There oh, okay,
an
yeah,
association,
yeah, right,
right. Yeah, once upon yeah, okay. a time.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's good.
It's not a good joke when you have to explain it. My apologies.
That's all right. Man, country humor.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah, yeah, you're doing your Robert Quinn impression. It's okay. Shep wants me to expand on how I would think if I was young, black, and rich. I'm just saying.
We enjoyed that very much back here as well.
Well, listen, Atlanta is, would you not agree?
It's no, one you, of you're definitely right, but hearing you parse through it live on the radio is a great joy to me on a okay. Fast Friday.
All right, good.
I was hoping you could explain what it is like, in fact, to be young, rich, and black, Danny.
I'm not saying at all that I know what it is like, but what I am saying is that Atlanta is one of the epicenters of black culture in this country. Whether
right,
you're talking,
you're right.
Whether you're, when you want to look at the demographics of the black population in the city, Atlanta hip hop, the black strip club scene, if you want to get real about it for athletes, and they're always telling stories about it on podcasts and in rap songs and all of that sort of thing. So, yeah, I would imagine that being young, black, rich, and famous would be pretty sweet in Atlanta. I feel like that's. Am I wrong?
Well, I have not spent much time there. I've only stopped through Atlanta. I've
Magic
not
City,
had the
baby.
Impression. I know it's a very international city, but I don't know. Is it cosmopolitan? Would you go that far to say Atlanta is? Man, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, I haven't spent enough time there, but my perception of it is, you know, maybe with some, the Civil War ain't over. That's just my thought.
Oh, sure. But you know, it's like any place, man. It's
I've heard Atlanta has the perimeter, and as long as you stay within the perimeter, you're
right.
fine. And that's like the metropolitan area.
Boy.
Right.
Wow.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Don't be found in Marietta at sundown, huh?
Yeah. So.
Lovely.
Well, they play in a dome. Maybe, you know, that's part of it. You know, playing inside, indoors, fast turf. Maybe that's a positive for Atlanta's side.
All sorts of things. Chef, I'm glad I could give you guys so much of my insight into
Young
what it
Rich
would be
Black.
Like. Of course. Chew it and do it. Yeah, so I feel like I'm getting some support. On the text line, top tech, Parkins is dead on. Coming
oh, you're right.
Fan.
It's just funny.
Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. Thank you, Tanny, for backing me up there. You have the ability to sign off
humor.
On it. A little country humor. I've enjoyed this segment greatly. To make it even more awkward. No, people want me to address the family comments. They want me to expand on it. We can do that, and then we'll get back to some sports talk. Because the Bulls might have a change. What a day it is on the screen.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bulls fans, we miss you. And Bill Winnington, we miss you. My wife Ann and I have been playing card games, board games like...
Uno?
Yes.
I think I'm the champion.
Yes, you are. Thank you very much.
Monopoly?
Excuse
me. I think I'm the champion at Monopoly.
Yeah.
Sing. Ticket to Ride. That's the next one up. Scrabble. Oh, I think I'm the champion. Clue?
Bill, you're clueless, but I love you.
Risk.
Yes, this old school.
Yes.
So please, Bulls fans, we love you. Be safe, be well, wash your hands.
That is amazing. Chuck Swirsky, game night in the Swirsky household. This hour brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including postal workers, CTA staff, and airport staff. We appreciate you. Mac, what do you think Swirsk's favorite board games are?
Growing up in the neighborhood in Seattle with the Wilson sisters, Ann and Nancy Wilson from Hart, I bet he enjoyed playing the game of Parcheesi. That's what I first thought. Parcheesi. That's just a good Swirsk board game, isn't
Salsa.
It?
Yeah, it's a really good Swirsk board name. Hungry, hungry hippo.
Big time onions.
Kerplunk. How'd you like to play Kerplunk? Kaboom. Where you
Salsa.
Pass that, the little squares and circles out with that little plastic hammer.
Shoots and ladders, Danny. You go up and then you go down. It's a game of chance.
Stratego. Everybody's playing Stratego. When they're
Monopoly.
Not playing Parcheesi.
Parcheesi's the best one.
I yeah, think so. It's hard to
You led with the ace of spades.
I think so. That's what you got to do.
Yes. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Put him in the Hall.
Tippett, the little guy who balances on his nose with the rings. You try to take little pieces out and have him not fall off of the balancing beam. That doesn't sound real good. That's not my Swirsky is not in midseason form. I haven't heard him in too long.
Yeah, there hasn't been sports. You haven't been practicing.
Because right, I was listening to so many Bulls games this winter.
It's a part of your drive home sometimes.
Yeah.
When you're playing an East Coast team.
And right, the commute is 90 minutes. Right. Remember those? Long commutes?
Yeah. No, not really.
No, you don't. Oh, there's a good one from a texter for Swirsk. Rock 'em, sock 'em, robots.
That's good.
That is good.
Robots.
The easy bake oven.
We had Dave Wanstead record a coronavirus PSA for the show because his voice just made us happy. This was very early on in the COVID-19 crisis, and we got some humor out of it because we just aired the entire thing as he went through the script and, you know, Dave Wanstead-isms. And so, like, the idea was then we were just, like, have other people whose voices we loved do these PSAs, and then it got so serious that it took a little bit of the fun out of it. And Swirsk has a PSA for COVID-19 on the air on this station, and it's good and it's serious and it's informative, but it still makes me smile because it's Swirsk's voice.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh man, I just that guy I like hearing him. I like it was the idea behind
Papa.
Yeah. It's the same thing with Wani. It's like Wani could be telling me about something awful, and I'm like, oh, I like listening to you, coach.
They are both cartoons in their own right. One of them is this little bitty one that runs around my dashboard whenever the Bulls are playing and I'm commuting, and Wani is just like having a house pet. Wani's like he's like football McGilla Gorilla, isn't he? I don't know if you're old enough to remember McGilla Gorilla, but his presence just has this warming effect. There's just like a big security blanket when Wani's around.
Yeah, I just say he sounds like football, and football puts me in a good mood. But yeah. It's just great. He is It's fantastic. And so, but you listen, you asked me to address something in more detail from...
Well, yeah, I was a little, I'm a little bit confused, as a few texters were early on, and if you don't want to do it, no big deal. I just thought you might want to. I heard Dan Bernstein today, a few minutes after 9 o'clock, addressing the radio station's changes, and it was very heartfelt, and it it made me very sad, as yesterday's news made me very sad. But I was not anywhere near, I wasn't listening to the radio at noon when Lawrence started his show, which, to my understanding, I got a few text messages that there was a different tone expressed. So I'll let you pick it up from there and take it as far or as not far as you want to go.
Listen, I'll be transparent. I got no problem with it. Like, everybody is hurting. Okay, I thought Dan was amazing. I thought Dan's tone was beautiful. I thought it was eloquent and powerful, and you could hear the emotion in his voice.
It's beautifully put.
And Lawrence, also, everybody has a right to feel how they feel, obviously. And his segment was raw and powerful and very clearly genuine also. And we talked about it yesterday. We talked about it today. I'm fine to talk about it again. It's public. It's not a secret. People that we are friends with, colleagues, members of, yes, I will continue to use the phrase, our SCORE family, even though Lawrence felt like that shouldn't be a thing that is thrown around anymore. Listen, reasonable minds can disagree on that. We are still a family. And it's part of why the SCORE was a dream job for me. And it's part of why this station matters still to the fabric of this city. And the point was, don't call it a family and then have what happened yesterday happen. And it's a reasonable point. Certainly things maybe could have been handled better in individual ways. He talked about talking to Campy as he was getting the news, and obviously that's not ideal in any way. And I don't know the details of how that happened. I spoke to Rick on the phone this morning. I exchanged messages with Connor yesterday. I talked to Dan, who obviously was directly impacted, given it was his producer and his co-host, at length after the show yesterday. We're all hurting about it, and not just because it's public that we're all taking pay cuts and it's mandatory. And, you know, the promotions staff has been impacted greatly. The sales staff has been impacted greatly. It's not just the people who make Robert Feeder's column, right? Like, this isn't just the SCORE, by the way. This isn't just Entercom Chicago. This isn't just Entercom Corporate. Over 6 million Americans had to file for unemployment last week.
Right. Right.
And so but my point is, and Mac, Bernstein was speaking to this actually when I was talking to him on the phone yesterday, and I won't betray too many of the confidences of that call. But Dan is approaching a quarter century at this radio station. I've been here since January of 2017. So, like, you and Lawrence and Mac, or you are Mac, and Bernsey have way more sweat equity in this place than I do. But the SCORE isn't Entercom. Like, the SCORE wasn't CBS, and it wasn't Viacom. Like, the SCORE has been on different frequencies, owned by different people, run by different people. Listen, I've worked at Entercom longer than anybody at the SCORE, because the Entercom owned the station that I worked for in Kansas City. But they're a big company, and they are going through a really tough time. But they are a publicly traded company. You can Google their stock price, right? There is a level of transparency that they have to do. It's why when the CEO sends out an all-staff email, like what happened yesterday, announcing the layoffs and the furloughs and the pay cuts, it makes news. It is publicly traded. There is transparency there. Like, you can see their financials. It's not a secret. And so when there are no sports and there are no live events and there is a global pandemic and the stock price is what it is and the economy is doing what it's doing, we're not the only broadcast company that is going to have this happen, that has had this happen, and we're not the only fill-in-the-blank company, right? Like, literally every walk of life.
Correct.
Teachers, lawyers, healthcare, the market, gig economists, restaurants, bars, Uber drivers, like whatever market you can think of, it's being impacted. And so, obviously, the people who are impacted the most are the people who are sick and they or their loved ones are dying, right? It's a healthcare crisis first. It is an economic crisis second. And within the economic crisis, obviously, the people who lost their jobs are by far the most impacted. Mac, you and I make good money. We are fine. We have health insurance. We're fine. People who make less money, they're more impacted by any sort of pay cuts and all of that. But I still feel, even if right now, as Bernsey said, we are like literally a splintered family, right? I am in my bedroom. You are in your basement. Shep is in his house. The listeners are maybe not listening to us in their normal way. Maybe they normally are listening in a cubicle, or they're listening behind the wheel of their car, and now they're listening on their phone or their Alexa or their smart speaker, whatever the case may be. Like, all of us are displaced right now in some way, some more than others, but we're all displaced in some way. But the score is the relationship between those of us with microphones, those of us behind the glass, and those who are at the other end of the speaker. And like, that's the score family. And the score will be here. Like, the scores, whatever happens to big corporate radio, you know, the score will be here.
Yes.
Sports will return. Local sports talk radio is still profitable and relevant, especially in world-class sports cities. And as the only live and local sports talker, I guarantee you, when we get through this as a global population, the score will still be standing. I don't know what version it'll look like. Maybe I'll be gone in the next round of something if there is a next round of layout. You know, who knows? I honestly don't know. But the score will still be here. And I think that that is important to note, because Lawrence has been here almost 25 years. You've had three tours of duty here. Bernsey, 25 years. Mitch Rosen, I mean, the sweat equity of our leader in this place. You guys have done too much, and you've lived too long of lives at this station. It's meant too much to you, and it's meant too much to the audience, and it's meant too much to the city to say that that a score family doesn't exist anymore. Families fight. Families can splinter. Families can have rough days. Families can have rough months, rough years, rough leaders, rough bosses, rough whatever, rough circumstances. But we're still a family. And I think that matters. And I think that should be put out. And again, reasonable minds can disagree on that. And I'm not telling anyone else how to feel. But when I heard it, I was bummed. And I get it, because we are all hurting for those who lost their jobs. And we're all hopefully keeping a proper perspective that if you have your health, that's what's most important above all else in these times. But to those of us who still, like those of you who are still listening and still love this radio station and are making it a part of your new reality and your new day right now, damn right you're a part of the Score family.
Yeah, and man, I don't know what much I can add to that. It's very well stated, Parkins, and you are correct. When we arrive at the other side of this someday and there's an exhale moment, this radio station still will be, and maybe to even a larger degree, a huge part of the fabric of this community. And whether ratings reflected it or not early on, that's how this city wrapped its arms around the score when it was just a daytime frequency between January of 92 until we got the 1160 frequency, which had all kinds of problems before we came here to 670. That was 5 years. The station is bigger than anybody who has ever been a tenant in any day part, whether it's mornings, afternoons, or middays. The station is bigger than anybody who's ever programmed it. the station belongs to the city. I always have felt that way, and I have felt these last couple of years, like to a much larger degree than the second time through, 09 to 14. Like there is more of a family, and I felt Jimmy DeCastro would facilitate that, and I didn't say it at the time when we jumped on board, because whatever I was going to say was going to fall on deaf ears, because I came in sort of being viewed as the evil guy. I was wrecking the home at the time, so I saved those thoughts for a time down the road. But yeah, these are tricky times for all of us, and I don't know if any of it. I am willing to accept anything that happens. I was expecting, I certainly was preparing myself to be caught up in the cuts. I will accept that if that's the case, and continue to root for those who I've worked for and worked with. And that's not going to change. I would say this about Entercom. During this pandemic, the leadership that's been exhibited by Rachel Williamson at the highest level, and also with Wheezy Kramer and our program director, Mitch Rosen, who is suffering more than just from the coronavirus crisis. Mitch's home recently burned almost completely to the ground. He's living in a makeshift home for 6 months while all of this is happening, with his wife, Mary, and their son, Ben, who was a sophomore at Ball State and remains a sophomore, finishing that second year at home. They have been terrific, and they have been, you know, going through pressure that I can't even imagine. And I thought the tone that was exhibited last night on our teleconference was sincere, and I'll accept whatever you know we have down the road. But I'm sorry that feeling of family is not shared by all of us, but. You know, maybe with what we do with the time down the road, we can affect change. Time doesn't change things. What we do with the time can change things. And if there's things that you and I can do to make others feel like, you know, we want it to be more of a family, I'm always available for those conversations. I'm sorry to hear Lawrence feels that way. I feel awful for everybody who got popped. I am a fan of Connor McKnight's. Connor has a quality that I demand in a radio host who I'm going to spend a lot of time with as a customer, and that is he is likable. It's more than just being knowledgeable. He is likable, and I feel horrible for him, and I feel horrible for Rick Camp and everybody who got cut. We lost the sales guy I've been with since Jiggets and I were together, for crying out loud. You know, Jeff Fritz, who got popped today. We're not saying that. I'm not saying this to cry poor for us. We know it's everywhere, and that's why I said I will accept whatever happens, because you know, it's the business has been very, very good to me, and whatever happens, it doesn't go my way, I'll learn to live with that. But I'm more fearful for others than I am for myself. I fear for you guys with young kids at home. My sons who are just starting their professional lives. I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about others. And I hope we can remain together as a family. And I'm with you on Bernstein. He was terrific today.
Yeah, and listen, there's a fair question There's a fair question that someone's asking, though. Why is the Scores business affected? Are people not listening? People aren't in their cars. That's one thing with the listenership, but the listener numbers actually digitally and the streams, they're actually insanely good right now.
Yes.
That's actually not the problem.
Retail's getting creamed. They got to tighten up the advertising.
Right.
Budgets.
So when businesses lose money, right, because people aren't shopping and going to restaurants or doing whatever they're doing, one of the first places they cut, advertising dollars, right? And mm-hmm. So we are a free medium, so we require advertising dollars. You might have noticed shorter commercial breaks, fewer commercial breaks. Also, we're the home of the Cubs, home of the Bulls, live sports. Entercom has made a huge investment in local sports rights. They have the play-by-play rights for, like, I don't even know how many teams, but it's not tens, it's dozens and dozens and dozens. It's a lot of them. Might be triple digits. So there's no games.
music stations, can't throw concerts. So the business is being really impacted. And every walk of life, every station, every market, every city. So it's just, it's tough times right now. So that's just the reality. It's tough times right now. But that's where we are, and we will continue to be here for all of you through this. And we appreciate very much you guys sticking with us. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Oh, wrong. Try again, dumbass.
All right, Tanny, I'm sorry. Got so caught up. I got so emotional. I forgot about the stupidity of this radio show, which, I mean, really should always be front and center. So my bad. We said the other day, Mac, that Dan Plesak should have a sign in Crown Point.
Yes, we did.
And I said, you know what? That's the type of stupid cause, the stupid and futile gesture on someone's part, and we're just the guys to do it, the iconic line from Animal House.
Yes.
The guy who brought the Machado sign into Sox Park for the Cubs. You know, the idiocy.
Right.
That this is the show. That's the type of cause we can get behind. And Shep has booked someone for our cause, the mayor of Crown Point, David Uran. I hope I have that name right.
You Mr. do have it right, of course. It is Mayor Uran joining us on the Score. Dave.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Thank you for your time.
Apologize for being late to you, Mr. Mayor.
That is so good. Actually, we just met a couple of months ago at a fundraiser. My wife's an attorney in Northwest Indiana, and there was a fundraiser. Wayne Messmer sang that night. It was a glorious event. So if I make a donation, can we get a sign in Crown Point that says the home of former big league star Dan Plesak?
Well, you know, that's the first step, is to make sure that we can pay for something if it's something that's going to hit our community in a positive way. But the Plesak name is just not Danny. I mean, you got to look at his nephew, Zach. And, you know, so the Plesak name in Crown Point is not only been back from 79 and 80 when Danny graduated Crown Point, but his nephews have made a big impact, too. So the Plesak name is very much known here in Northwest Indiana, especially in Crown Point.
Okay.
Can we get a sign erected somewhere? Can we get some sort of homage to the Plesak name?
We have to look at the proper location to put it. The history there of 18 seasons and playing with multiple Major League Baseball teams. And one of the most interesting facts that I had looked up with Danny was he was never on the injured list. So maybe we named the road to a rehab physical rehab center for athletes, because you know, when you see that name going in there, you know that maybe you're in good hands.
Yeah, I'm thinking somewhere prominent. I'm thinking as you're making your way into the hub on 55 Broadway there. I think that's – do I have it right or no?
That's a state highway. So if you want to get more red tape involved in this decision, we can get NDOT involved. I don't think we want to do that.
But you're open-minded to this, as long as we can get everybody on the same page, Mayor Uran. I guess that's good.
I think so. We can move that needle a little bit and get people to support it. I think anything's possible.
Awesome. That is okay. Great news. That is awesome.
Will you please keep this show posted on the progress of the Plesak name being immortalized somewhere publicly in Crown Point? We'd like to be the first ones to know.
I will definitely put that on our list to do here in the next, you know, few weeks, if not sooner. So, I mean, he's an icon not only in Major League Baseball and Major League Network, but again, the Plesak family is well known, and so I think we can try to make something happen in a fun, spirited way, but at the same time, getting that history of the Plesak family name and what it means to baseball is very, very important. Dan, you know, when you come to Northwest Indiana, when you look at sports and you look at amateur sports, Crown Point probably leads the way with our sports facilities and our you know, from the Spike Albert playing an incredible first half in that national championship game to Miranda Ellis throwing no-hitters in NCAA tournaments, and what the Plesak family's done at a major league level, and both his nephew and what Danny's done. Crown Point is well-known for amateur sports and major league sports as well.
Awesome. Awesome. If we get this done, I'll buy for the house at the Bob Seger Silver Bullet Saloon right in downtown on the square there. I've still been meaning to walk in that joint, but I just don't have the right boots, I don't think. I'm not sure.
You know, and maybe here in a few weeks, if not sooner, when things get back to a little bit of normalcy on that side, which I think everybody could probably use a cold beverage right now to, you know, to take a little of the edge off what's taking place here. I look forward to that.
David,
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks.
Appreciate you having us on here, and good luck, guys. And I know you guys are working hard out there to get the message out, and we just want to be safe out there and applaud our first responders and our medical people and all the essential businesses that are doing out there, and we appreciate the media side of getting the information out there. So thank you. I know it's been a tough day for a lot of your some of your coworkers, but we appreciate them, and I appreciate the score ever since you guys came on the air.
Awesome. Dave, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Mayor Uran of Crown Point, Indiana. A stupid and futile gesture, Mac. The hope and the dream is
He's
still
on
alive.
Board. He's it's... on board. I'm so excited about that. That is good. I'm gonna text Danny when we go to our next break. He's going to be thrilled.
Which is right now. It's McNeil and Park. It's on the score.
Just a little country humor.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.